Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Welcome again. We come to the second of our series in prayer. You will find the visitors amongst us, the outline of the sermon inside this pink sheet, and two of the passages that we're referring to on the back and the front that we've just had read as our lessons. Last week we started the series on prayer by asking the question, to whom do we pray? It's a question that seems to have a very obvious answer, God. But when we look at what people call prayer, we discover that that one word prayer covers a whole variety of activities, from flags fluttering in the breeze to silent meditation, to chanting mantras, to talking with God. So we pose the question, what is prayer? For the nature of prayer is determined by the God to whom we are praying. If God is an impersonal force, then we must align ourselves with the force. We must let the force go through us or be with us. If God was Moloch, well, then we pray by offering our sons as sacrifice to him. Within the Bible, if asking God for something, it involves asking that is requesting. That is, biblical prayer is about asking God for something. It's asking, and it involves speech, using words, asking in words. And so in prayer, we express our dependence upon God. We articulate our faith in God. We verbalise our reliance upon God. Prayer is like this in the Bible because God is our Creator and Father. Throughout the Bible, God is presented to us as the Almighty Creator, the ruler of heaven and earth, the sustainer of all things. He controls everything, for he has made everything out of nothing, and there is nothing that is beyond his control. Everything obeys his order. He can do whatever he pleases. It's summed up in three little words. He is able. But not only is God the creator, he is the creator of us in his image to relate to him and to rule and to care for his creation as his image bearers. Yet even more extraordinary than that, we are to become his children, his family. For God, the creator of heaven and earth, is also presented to us as our Father. He has for all eternity been the Father. He is the very meaning of the term Father. But through the gospel, he has become our Father. For by his Son's death and resurrection, he has poured out his Spirit upon us to give us new birth, rebirth into the very family of God, so that we now can rightly call God, the creator of the universe, our own Father. And as our Father, he is willing to give us everything that we need, for as children with a Father, we are dependent upon him. And so this can be summed up in three other words. He is willing. He is able, and he is willing. As we come in prayer to God, our Creator and our Father, and make our requests known to him, we are asking somebody, God, who is both able and willing to give us whatever we need, to give us whatever we ask, to give us what is for our best, to give us what is in our best interests. For our Creator and Father God is both able and willing to hear and to respond to our prayers. He's not an impersonal force. He's not an inadequate idol that is dumb and does not speak and powerless. He's not one of many gods with a limited portfolio that we have to approach him only over certain subjects and go to a different God on another subject and another God on another subject. He's not remote nor any more angry with us. That is, our prayer is defined not by a dictionary, but by our relationship with God. We talk to God and ask him things because he has created us in his own image and recreated us, regenerated us through his Son's, his risen Son's Spirit, so that we are his sons and daughters. He is our Father, and he's both willing and able to give us all that we ask. Now, this relationship with God allows us to approach him with our requests. If he were not almighty, if he were not able, not the creator of everything, there'd be no point asking him for anything. If he were not able, the creator of human beings in his own image, we could not expect him to provide for us, to hear us, to listen to us, to communicate with us, to relate to us. If he were not willing, not our Father, then we could not come to him with any confidence that he would give us what we ask for. If he were not willing, not the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we wouldn't be able to approach him because of his holiness, his righteousness, his anger with our sinfulness. It is because he is who he is that we are allowed to pray to him. It is because we are in a relationship that we are in that we are allowed to pray to him. Think about it, friends. Are you allowed to pray, to ask, to request from powerful, mighty people anything you want? Do you think that you could ring up John Howard or Bob Carr, that you could just pop over the fence and see George Bush or Queen Elizabeth and ask them for anything that you wanted, expecting them to be always available for you, expecting them to be willing to listen to you and to give you whatever you wanted, expecting them to be able to do whatever you ask for? You wouldn't even get past the security guard, would you? And even if you did get past the security guard and were able to ask them, and even if they were willing to give it to you, which you can't be sure, they don't necessarily have the constitutional right to give what any citizen asks them to give. But in prayer, we're not just asking the Prime Minister, the Premier, the President, the ruler, the King. We're asking the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whatever we want, whenever we want, with every reasonable expectation that he will give us whatever we are asking for. It is our relationship with God that allows us to pray. But it's more. It's our relationship with God which demands that we should pray. That we can enter into the very presence of God, the Almighty Creator of the universe, and call him Dad, and make any request we wish, demands that we avail ourselves of this incredible privilege of fellowship with God. Look again at our New Testament reading there on the inside from Hebrews chapter 10. Pick it up at about verse 19, the last major paragraph. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter in the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Since we have such access to God, let's go. It very demands that we will go. James chapter 4 says, we must draw near to God. Obviously, given what he has done for us, praise and thanksgiving are a must. But these, while accompanying prayer, are not actually prayer. Prayer is asking for things. We should always ask in the context of giving thanks. But given that God did not spare his own Son to bring us pardon, well, we must ask for forgiveness. For God has, by his Son's death and resurrection, commanded all people everywhere to repent. For now everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How can we continue to sit here in sin when the Lord Jesus Christ has died to pay the penalty for our sins, so that all we must do now is ask for forgiveness? And given that he is the Creator who provides all good things for our good, we must ask whatever we need. For we are not to be like the pagans who run after what they eat and what they drink and what they wear, whose worry and anxiety and whose whole of life is besotted and obsessed about food and drink and shelter. But we are to trust God to provide all these good things for us as we seek his kingdom and his righteousness first and foremost. And so Christians are not to fight or to quarrel about what we have or what we don't have, but rather to ask God, not to spend his gifts on our selfish, sinful passions, but trusting him to provide everything we need, especially the Holy Spirit. To ask for that, because we are especially told that God would not deny anyone who asks of that ultimate good gift. Not only does our relationship with God allow us to pray, not only does it really demand that we do pray, but thirdly, God commands us to pray. He says in the text, which is printed at the top of the outline there, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Pray without ceasing. There's a command of God. It is part of his character of mercy, kindness, generosity, and love that he is so patient with our folly that he commands us to pray. Sometimes we have to command our children to do things that are good for them, but usually they're unpleasant things, like eating certain healthy food, which is nearly always coloured green, or finishing their homework. Rarely do we have to command our children to do pleasant things. Go ahead, you must eat all your ice cream. You're not allowed to leave this table till you finish your ice cream. An unlikely command from any parent. Or go on, you must play with your toys. Stop doing all that hard work. Go and play. An unlikely command from any parent. But God commands that which is both beneficial and pleasant. That we pray to him, that we bring our requests to him. Prayer is obviously advantageous to us. It is obviously a rich privilege to us. What kind of perversity is there in my heart and soul, in my character, that I need to be commanded to do it? We are engaged in a spiritual warfare. That is why we are commanded. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Or as God commanded in the Psalms, call upon me in the day of trouble. But that verse introduces the fourth aspect of our relationship with God, namely his promises. For the verse really reads, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. And you shall glorify me. That is, we pray because God has promised to hear our prayers and to answer them and to give us the good things that we ask for, and in so doing bring glory to God himself. So Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? Or consider how Paul reasoned with the Romans in chapter 8. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God promises to graciously give us all things. We pray because we have been promised by God that he will respond to our prayers. And in praying like this, we're bringing glory to God, for we are keeping on saying, you are able to look after my issues, and you are willing to look after me. In one sense, the issue is not why pray, but rather, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray without ceasing? For why on earth wouldn't we be praying? Why do we find prayer so painful and difficult? Why do we have to drive ourselves and regulate ourselves to pray? Let me give you fairly quickly three common reasons why we do not pray. Firstly, because we have false views of God. We question God's ability, or we question his willingness to hear our prayers and to be able to help us in our situation. Sometimes it's because we think of God as being impotent in the fixed order of creation that he has made, bound up by his own world in such a way that he is unable to break the natural order of things and help us, so that prayer cannot change anything. Maybe it can change the prayer, but it can't change life because, well, there are just scientific laws that control what is happening, and there's no way God can intervene with those things. But God has created the universe, and God is able. And God is able to do anything, for all things are possible to him, said Jesus. Sometimes we don't pray because we think God is not willing, that he's indifferent to my need, as if he's not a loving father. We think my concern is too small for God to be worried about, forgetting that he has every hair on my head numbered. There is no issue that is too small to take to God, just as there is no issue too grand to take to him either. Because he is willing and able. But if you don't have that right view of God, you will limit your prayers. Secondly, we don't pray to God because we have a false view of relationship with him. We do not trust him and his word of the cross to us. We don't depend upon him for everything. We keep thinking that we have to do everything. With a possible little help from him just when we get into danger. We do not trust that we are fully forgiven, that we are truly welcome into his throne room, that we can ask him anything, however small or big, because we have been born again by the Spirit of God, so that God is actually our loving Father. So we think we have to manipulate him into action. By ritual, by saying sets of words, superstitiously repeating the right words in the right order and the right way. Some people even use the Lord's Prayer like that, reciting it over and over again, three times, four times, the very prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, so that we won't pile up words meaninglessly and superstitiously like that. Or we think that we can only pray to him when we're feeling really close to him, or when we're feeling that he is really close to us, right with us. When we sense the presence of God is the only time that we can pray to him, as if he is not there all the time. Or that we can only pray to God when we have enough faith. When we deep down truly, really, 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 absolutely, completely believe that we do not receive because we didn't believe hard enough, forgetting that Jesus taught us if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, which is about that big, we can move a mountain. The size of our faith, the intensity of our faith, the enormity of our faith has nothing to do with the miracles that God works. It's not the size of your faith that works miracles, but the God in whom you have faith. He is the one who does it. There are so many false views of our relationship with God that result in us not enjoying the privilege of prayer. And behind them all is the third and real reason we do not pray, namely the devil's deceits. For the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and he is constantly deceiving by distorting the word of God. Listen to James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Drawing near to God is pulling away from the devil. Or again, listen to the Apostle Peter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith. We are engaged, friends, in a spiritual battle. And never more so than when we humble ourselves and prayerfully express our trust in God as our Creator and Father. It is then, when we are humbly praying to God, it is then that we are most fully rejecting the evil one in his willful rebellion of independence and autonomy. He has taught us to do it my way, to reject God and to run my own life my own way, to stand on my own two feet, to be the captain of my own soul, the master of my own destiny. That is the devil's lie. As I humble myself and hand everything over to God and say, not my way, but your will be done. When I call upon him and say, I cannot do this, please have mercy and do this for me and that, as I humble myself towards God, so I am resisting the devil and expressing my faith in God. So let's return to the topic and the question of today, why pray? The answer to this is straightforward for the Christian person. Why pray? Well, because we trust God. That's what prayer is. It's expressing our trust in God. In prayer, we're expressing our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so we pray to receive the good things that He has promised us. We pray because He's commanded us to do so. We pray because it brings glory to Him, for it says, you are in control of all things, little and grand, and you care for me. We pray because we are His children and He is our Father. Is He your Father? Are you His child? Have you entered into this presence through the forgiveness of sins won for you by Jesus Christ? Look in the back of the outline there, in the passage from Jeremiah, where God speaks about a new covenant, a new day that is coming, a new agreement between God and man, where it says there just before verse 34, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. Why? For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Has your iniquity been forgiven? Has God put aside your sin? It can only be through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that our iniquity is no longer remembered by God. It's only as you know the forgiveness that Jesus has won for you that you will know your Creator as your Father, both able and willing to answer your prayers. And so your prayers are the expression of your faith. Your prayers and your prayerlessness are a touchstone of your relationship or lack of relationship with God as Father. If you do not know God as your Father, then during the refreshments that we're serving after our gathering this morning, for we serve refreshments up there and up this side as well, do talk to one of the staff members about it. Say, I'd like to know God as my Father. Or if you have to rush away at the end of our gathering, then say it to one of the clergy at the door, say, I'd like to know about God as my Father. Can we meet and talk about it? For isn't it wonderful that the Creator of the universe can be our Father? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you for every good gift that you give to us. For this created world, we thank you. For the rain that you have bestowed upon us this day in answer to our prayers, for the drought to be broken, we pray that you would continue to send rain and ease the drought and the anxieties and worries of our citizens who are living in fear of losing farms and properties for lack of water. We do thank you, Father, that you send the sun and the rain upon the just and the unjust. But we thank you especially, Heavenly Father, that you did not spare your own Son, but sent him too, that he would willingly sacrifice his life for our sins, that we might be pardoned and forgiven. We thank you, Father, for sending your Spirit, that the risen Lord Jesus would pour out upon us to make us your children. We pray, Father, that everyone in this place today might know you as their Father through the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, knowing you as our Father and God, help us to fulfill that joyous, generous command of praying without ceasing, because we love you and trust you as our Heavenly Father. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.